Parshas Hazinu. So you find it's Parshas Hazinu is kemat equivalent to Sefer Torah. It has Kisas Hashira Azoyis Hashayla, if it's the Shira of Hazinu or it's the Shira of Torah, which is called Shira. So I say there's a certain parallel between Hazinu and Kol HaTorah Kula. On the one hand, the difference is Hazinu seems to be a Torah for Lasid Lavoi, meaning that if people didn't, there will come a time when Torah is going to be behesta, and that's when Vonzachem Hashir Azois, and Matan Torah was Begoli. So you have a type of Torah that is given Begoli for when it's happening, is Kalos of Hashem, and there's a type of Torah that's there for Tkuf of Hesta. We'll try to understand the difference between this Torah and this Torah, what's needed for this Torah, what's needed for that Torah. First two Aris and the Medrash over here. The Medrash starts on the Pasuk of Hazinu, which means to listen, Halacha, Adam Yisrael she'choshesh ba'oznei, ma she'mutar ha'poyzeh b'Shabbos. A person who has an earache on Shabbos, he has some sort of problem in the ear, ayilad b'mechal Shabbos. So Chazal say, since it's a Sofek Nefosh, it's Leichus HaShabbos. Makas Oizen has a din of Sofek Nefoshes, and therefore a person is allowed to heal his ear on Shabbos. So that means that Chazal are focusing on the tchunis of an Oizen. Rab Levi Amar, and it goes on a Pasuk. It says the Pasuk is Hatu Oznechem mentions Pasuk Rosh Hashanah. Hatei ozen chol teira vat noichol chayim. Rab Levi says a oizen leguf ke kinkol lekelim. An oizen to the guf is like a kinkol for kelim. What is a kinkol? A kinkol is a rack made of a net type of material. In other words, it's like a mesh rack which is full of holes, and you put the kelim on it, and underneath it you have besamim smoking, and it fills the kelim with a good odor. So you put the kelim on top of this rack which is full of holes, you put it on top of smoking besamim, and that's, so Rav Levi says the oizen for the guf is like a kinkol le kelim. Shekena kinkol kama kelim niton olav vat noisen mugma v'tachta v'kumis ashnin. And you put the kelim on it, you put the besamim underneath it, and they all get that odor. Kach masayim v'aboyim v'shmeni v'aron shib odma zah de oizen kulon chayim. So same thing is about the oizen, that all the evarim get the chias from it. Minayin shnema shimus chinafshechem. The mashal is very, very, very hard to understand. I mean, if you're trying to say that the oizen, a mashal is supposed to explain something about the tchunis. If you want to tell me that the oizen is life-giving, say it's like a glass of water, where you drink it, you get life. It's like air, it's like a breath of air. What are you trying to explain the mashal? That the oizen feeds every single aver? So it's a weird mashal. What's the mashal of the kinkal? It's a rack with holes in it, like a net, a mesh. And you have smoke underneath this. So what is it doime to the oizen? In what tchun is it doime to the oizen? Just like this is able to give all the kelim a good odor, the oizen is able to give a chias to all the evar. It doesn't seem that the mashal has any shaychus whatsoever with the nimshal. That's one nekuda we'd want to look at. Second nekuda is, it says Vayten Chazal, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Vaisleis, it's coming from the same pasuk of Shimut Chi Nafshechem, which Chazal means Hat Ozlecha L'Toyer V'Tanoichel Chayim. Hat Ozlecha, Im Hitis Ozlecha L'Toyer, if you were Mat Ozlecha L'Toyer, in other words, it's going Hat Ozlecha L'Toyer, Kishetover Lefteach B'Divrei Toyer, when you yourself will try to say Divrei Toyer, Hakol Mishtatkim L'Fanecha V'Shem Derecha. Everyone's going to keep quiet and listen to you. Just like you yourself listen to Divrei Torah, and everyone listened. So the Etzem Limur Chazal is seems to be from Azinu, and yet if you look at the Medrash, it's coming off the Pasuk. It's coming on the Pasuk of Hat Oznecha, the Torah Vatanoichel Chaim, on that Memra. It's saying that if your matter is in the Torah, you're going to be able to teach other people, and they'll listen to you. That's nice. I mean, in Hazinu, there's a remnant to it. But in the Ve'at Neuchel Chaim, where do you have over there a remnant that this is the type of thing that you have over here? What's the... where is there a certain Zelum Aseh of Neuchel Chaim? Where in Neuchel Chaim is there remez to other people listening to you and so on? So let's those are two nekudas. Another inyan, the Chovos Halavavos says, and it's brought down in Halacha and latest for him, and some people are makpid, that in Aseres Hadibris the Kriya Shema has in itself Aseres Hadibris Merumas in it, and it's a very mistabitic thing. Kriya Shema is the most important parasha, the parasha that encapsulates Emuna and so on. It makes sense that in that parasha we would have Rimazim for the basics of Teiras Yisrael, and the remez for that lies in the parasha of in the parasha of Kriya Shema, and some Siddurim have it marked off exactly where we have each one a memory of the Seres Hadibris. We're not marked with it, but it's there, it exists. So Chovos Halavavos says that its merum is there, and then he adds an important point. He says the word Shema Yisrael doesn't mean over there to listen. It doesn't. It's not Shmias Ha'ozen, but it's a Munas Halev. And the emes is that it is something that's strange. When we start Kriya Shema, Kriya Shema is not a chiyuv whatsoever to say it b'tzibur. It's not a davar shebekdusha. There's no added mitzvah to say Kriya Shema b'tzibur, and therefore the fact that Kriya Shema starts with Shema Yisrael is a very strange psicha. Who are you talking to? There may or may not be people listening. It's not Minyan Yisrael Kriya Shema. Everyone has a chiyuv telling Kriya Shema himself, and everyone's learning Kriya Shema himself. And it's lav davka b'tzibur. Chazal say Shema Yisrael is going to Yisrael Saba, but b'chol eifin, why start a parasha like that with the word Shema Yisrael? Where is Shema introduction? So the Chovos Halavavos is bavarning it. Now the Chovos Halavavos is saying that the word Shema is Milosh Nemuna, like we would say Ta'aminu Yisrael, believe Klal Yisrael. So it's as if we would start the parasha and say Ani Mamin V'chulu. That's basically what he's saying. The problem is, so why not say it? In other words, if where does the word Shema come to mean Emuna specifically? I mean, in a general way, it's like true and it's very good. But where does the word Shema and Shmi and so on come to mean that? There's a pasuk in Yeshayo in the Yonet Shuvah. It's a pasuk that's brought down a lot, that's spoken, that's mentioned. It says like this. It says Yeshayo was told Vayoyme Leich v'matol amazeh, go tell Klal Yisrael. Shimu Shamoya Va'al Tavinu, listen, or you will be listening and you won't understand. Uru'ura Oy Val Teido, and you're going to see and not know. Hashmein Leiva Mazer, because people have put fat on their hearts. V'oznav Hachbeit, they've made their ears heavy. V'ein of Hashan, they've blocked out their eyes. That's how Rashi learns. So V'oznav Hachbeit, Rashi says, means like Hashmein Leiva Mazer. Ve'ein of Asha means they've put blinkers over their eyes. They've put a patch over their eyes. They've put something on top of their eyes. Pen Yirbein of, because he's afraid of seeing and hearing and understanding and doing tshuva. So in other words, the Navi is saying that Klal Yisrael is not allowing themselves to be nisarv for tshuva, and the way of doing it is they've hardened their hearts, they've hardened their ears. and they have covered their eyes. L'chur, the arrangement of the lashon is very strange. One would expect that when we tell somebody is not listening, we say you put plugs in your ears. You close your eyes, you put plugs in your ears, and you refuse to understand. That's the metaphor we would use. So we would take shmia and ri'ia and give it the same type of metaphor, that when a person is listening, when I'm telling him something, if he doesn't want to listen, he simply blocks up his ears. Like Chazal say, if you hear something that's not nice, you're supposed to put the lobe of the ear into the ear, and so on. Why is Oznav Hachbeit a repeat of Hashem Levam? That's what Rashi learns. Rashi says it's exactly, it means the same exact thing, where if on the eyes, we say to cover up. You can cover up the ears as well also. So it takes us to a very basic understanding and havana in different koiches hanefesh of ri'ah and shmia. We spoke about it on Rosh Hashanah, one aspect of it. We spoke the second day about how shmia is a chibur to the medaba, and how there's a certain element of achna mitzad the shomea, and the medaber is the and then once you machnia, it's a chibur. We spoke a whole inyan in that nekuda, in the kesher of the shomea medaber. I want to look at it from the other side, mitzad the shomea, the differences in koyches hanefesh between ri'ia and shmia. Chazal bechlal point out that there's a difference that the ear is nichve tchila, the ear is more sensitive, it goes in deeper into the body. The klal gadol is like this. There is a hush that registers that it registers the perception from the outside, and it takes in whatever comes on it. In other words, ri'ia is something which records all images that's put on top of it. Be'etzem, we spoke about the person is passive, it means I don't have to do any ma'isa in it. And more than that, I cannot get more than whatever is put on my eyes. My perception is everything there is. The picture I see is the entirety. That's it. I could think about it, and I could say, why is Reuven doing something so strange? Why is he, why did he go here? Why did he come there? I can use my mind to take the fact and analyze it. But the picture as a picture is surface deep, and it's not more than surface deep. There's nothing behind the picture. Mitzad ri'ia shebay. Mitzad ri'ia shebay, there is no subtlety under it. What you see is what you get. I could use my seichel, my chachm, and so on, but that's it. So ri'ia is connected to the concept of das. That's what the pasuk says. Ro'oi ro'oi valteido. You will see and not know. So ri'ia at best is an amassing of knowledge. I saw this, I saw this, I saw this. It's easier when it comes in. In other words, I see clearly. Ri'ia is it's a much more convincing perception, and it's surface level, it strikes you with much more clarity than shmia, but that's all it is. Matan Torah was given beside ri'ia. Atohar Esa Lodas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us, and the Maimed Har Sinai as such is the basis for our Yediyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tore open all the Shemayims, showed us that there's no there's nothing else but him, and we were koilet yediyah, and that's it. So ri'ia is the first approach. It's clear. It requires no mental effort on the person's behalf. I can go to a country whose customs and mores are extremely strange to me, and I see everything. I see exactly what they do in China, and I can report what I saw. They ate this, they walked here, they lived here, and so on and so forth. Shmia, in its very first step, requires a havana and a tfisa. I can't hear unless I understand. And like we said last time, shmia doesn't mean when I hear a bang, that's a sense of re'iyah. In other words, it's simply the surface perception of what's there. So in that sense, that type of shmia would not be different than re'iyah. It's where the senses absorb information that came in. But shmia, when it's in its real sense, which is lumas dibur, requires a havana on my part. Unless I am understanding and being mitzarif, mila to mila and ois to ois, I don't have shmia. So shmia immediately requires a havana and a tfisa on its most elementary level. But more than that, since it's a vehicle, since the seichel is the etzem shemea, so I have got to use my seichel, and I can use my seichel to hear a lot more than is being said. I can hear it even after the koil is gone. We have a music of a koil havara, an echo that you don't have in re'iyah. You have a bas koil. The koil allows itself. A person's words can ring in my ears long after I've been there. It's interesting. People have a way of forgetting. Re'iyah has a much more powerful impact on them when they live through it, and it's a lot more shaking. But afterwards, you find a lot more expression. I'll never forget the words he told me. I'll never forget what he said. The words still haunt me. Because shmia, because it's be'ikar pe'ulas haseichel and so on, therefore it goes beyond where re'iyah is. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah, the first thing he had to give was re'iyah. Atah ha'reisa l'das. We needed to establish as a clear fact. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu established with the clarity that it's called re'iyah in the Torah. After that's over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Deiris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not give re'iyah. Re'iyah becomes nishkach. Hazino Hashemayim, when we listen to Torah, then there is an attachment to it that comes afterwards also. The Hazana goes much further, and that's why if you want to block listening, you don't have to plug the ears. You can simply refuse to listen. The Pasuk says that the Hashmi Levamazah, the Hachbid Oznov, the eyes, you close, you put a screen in front of your eyes, they don't see. For the ears, that's not effective. The real place is when your das, when your seichel refuse to listen. It's the same as libay. The ozen and the lave in that context are the same, and therefore the way to avoid toichacha is also the same. Don't let it affect you. Don't listen to it. You have to do a conscious act of listening to it. If you refuse to listen to it, then you're not going to hear it. So we have two mahalchim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megal himself. Each one with a mila, there's re'iyah, which has clarity to it, but the person is passive. It's short-lived. It also means that it can never go deeper than what you saw. You can't get deeper than that. And the person himself doesn't have a kesha nafshi with it. Doesn't really attach himself to it. It affects him, but always as an outside thing affecting him. It's not something that the person himself becomes part of. That is the world of re'iyah. Chazal say, that's the pshat in Medrash here. When a person is given shmia, it's the ability to hook onto something past the words that you heard. Reb Chaim Shlomo used to say, and it was very famous, it's actually, the truth is, it's sort of, I mean, I saw it, the Zohar says something similar, but Reb Chaim Shlomo used to say it in his Lashon. He used to say, the Velt Taiches, Vayishma Yisrei, that Yisrei heard. He says, that's not true. Everyone heard. It says, Shomim Amim Yigozim. All the nations heard about it, and they were astounded. The Chaim used to say, I Taich Vayishma Yisrei, Yisrei der heard. The word der heard means to understand, to listen to the harmonics behind the sounds that you hear. To listen to the inner voice of what's there, to the echoes of it, to the resonating tones of it. Vayishma Yisrei is Yisrei der heard. It's like when you tell somebody something and he hears, okay, I can repeat it. Yeah, I can repeat it. But you hear in the way he's repeating it that he didn't get it. Vayishma Yisrei, Reb Chaim used to say, was he the heard means he hopped the point. There's an Eben Ezra, a remarkable Eben Ezra. He says that whenever it says the words in Shmois, it says it two places. Shmoya Tishma B'Koil Hashem and Vayishma Hashem Vayeda. Vayishma Elokim Vayeda. He says, when the word Shmia is taken alone, Vayishma Koil means he heard the sound in the way, in similar to the way the eye sees something. It's a simple act of sensory perception. When it says a Shmoya Bikoil or Likoil, it means to understand the content behind it, not just the words. Our chiyuv is to be shomea bikoil Hashem or likoil Hashem. Doesn't mean, okay, heard what he said, recorded, did. It's to try and to understand what's behind what was said, that it's that the chiyuv is. That is, the Ebenezer says it twice in Shmois. The parasha hazinu, that's the mashal of a knoikel. A knoikel is something which Kalim want to absorb some of the reach of the psamim that are really an extra quality. You can't dump it in burning psamim. If you put it in a closed kli, you're only going to, it stays the way it is. A closed kli preserves things, but it doesn't allow you to get something outside. A net that he's talking about allows you to absorb a flavor, it allows you to absorb a fragrance that is beyond you. Something that comes from somewhere else is not tangible. It's really something of a higher nature, and it gives you a pesach. It allows you an opening to absorb some of it. So that's what Chazal said a mile of the oizen is. It's you're able to take the whole guf is a guf. You slap a person, he goes this way. You push him, he goes that way. You show him directions, he goes the other way. That's the guf itself is where it is, and you can maneuver it to something. How does the guf go to something that is beyond itself? How does it attach itself to something that is further than itself? And the answer to that is the oizen. The oizen is a makor to chiyus. Chiyus is beyond a person. It's something further away. And the oizen is the ability that a person hears something beyond his dalat ames. Just like when a person is moichiach somebody else. The Rebbe Yonah says that the maila of shmia is a maila of that you're able to listen to somebody else. It means I am what I am, trapped in my where I've gotten to. No matter how much I will develop myself, l'chura I'm not getting anywhere else because I am what I am. When somebody bigger than me comes and he's machiach me and he says, "You are small. There is a bigger world out there. There's something greater." He's being mechaber me to something beyond me. If I listen to it, then I'm beginning to get a glimpse, a whiff of something beyond me. And that's the maila of oizen. It's like you put the kelim on the rack. The kelim are here, but because the rack has openings, it's a mesh rack, it allows for a reach shmanecha, it allows for reach psamim to absorb it. That's the first nekuda, and that itself is a tremendous nekuda for us. In other, the problem, one of the problems of our dor, the biggest problem of our dor is that it's a dor that is addicted to re'iyah. Everything is drawn, everything's in pictures, everything is broken up, simplified, digested, and given. We don't have any ability, any need, and therefore we lose the ability to think into something. We're coiled everything through re'iyah, and therefore once a person gets used to visual to pictures, then reading about it or even hearing about it stops becoming an option. Instead of a person taking a mimer in Chazal and sitting down and thinking about it and using his mind to open it up, to live it, to understand it, to absorb it, he needs to have somebody darshan it to him, flesh it out with stories, impress it on him, and that's it. So basically, we're growing up a generation of cripples. If you say any divrei musa that requires then a simple story to impress you with, then we don't have any more the ability to take a point, to dwell on it, to contemplate it, and to think about it. The key to longevity of Torah lies in Shmia, not in Riyah. There needs to be a moment of Atoresa to start it with, so that there not be any doubt. But the Dairis live on the Shira, the Ansavacha Shira Zais, Bayamahu. When a person, tomorrow there's no more Matan Torah, there is no Gilu Har Sinai. The only way there'll be a Gilu Har Sinai is when a person sits down with a Chumash, all of Chumash, and he says a Pasuk, and when he says Ato HaReisa Lodas, he envisions it and dwells on it and thinks about it. That's when he's having his Matan Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come down with the Malachim anymore and with the fire and the Shofars. The person has to enter into that world with his Koyach HaOizen, and if he doesn't have it, then it's finished. It has a second Nekuda. There's a Nekuda, there's a tremendous Malbim by Shlomo HaMelech. Awesome Malbim. The Malbim says in two different places. I guess, I don't know who she does say, but it's Mamish where he says it. He says, Shlomo HaMelech's Chochma. We think Shlomo HaMelech's Chochma, he knew a lot, he had a lot of knowledge, and so on. Shlomo HaMelech's Chochma, he, in two places, in a third place, the Pasuk itself says it. In one place it says that when the two women came and they fought it out whose baby was the live one, who's the dead one. So it says Vayema Shlomai Zois Hameres Bnei Chameis Bnei Achayv Zois Hameres Loikelo Bnei Achayv Bnei Chameis. So Chazal learned from it that a Dayan is supposed to repeat the arguments of the Balei Dvarim in order to, the Pashto Pshat is in order to clarify so that you know exactly what they said, to make sure you know exactly what they said, and so on. The Malbim says that at that junction, Shlomo HaMelech knew what the din was. He says one lady kept hopping and saying Bnei Chameis, and one kept saying Bnei Achai, Bnei Achai. So one of them, her interest was she felt she had a living child. The other one, the main thing was that the other woman is not better than her. He said during the whole conversation, that's why he keeps repeating. So he said Shlomo HaMelech had an oizen l'shmoya, and he heard her say zoysay meres v'zoysay meres. I hear in what they say already what the emes is. Shlomo HaMelech had the oizen shemas, and b'meili heard it. That is one place where the Malbim says it. There's a second place where he says it also. It says when Malka Shvah came. So she came and she brought all sorts of riddles. And, you know, in Chazal say a lot of different riddles. And they're very interesting and cute and sharp. Very, very nice. It says Malkashva Shoma Shema Shlomo. She heard all about Shlomo. She came to try him out with riddles. She came to try him with a big army. Vatovel Shlema Vatidabe Elof. She spoke to him. Eis Kolasha Hoyim Levava. Anything, everything that she had on her heart, which Lachura means those riddles. Vayagid Lo Shlomo is called Vareha. He told her everything. Lehoya Dova Nelam and Amelach Asa Higidla. And she saw his tremendous chachma, and she said, "There's nobody as big chachma." So the Malbim says, the riddles are who are very kind of open riddles and so on. When a person talks, a person says things, and behind what he says lies something, and behind that lies something. A person expresses himself in his diburim. In her diburim, she said, "Vatidabe elov es kol hashayim levava." Inside, in other words, a person speaks out what's on their heart. Vayagid lo Shlomo is kol dvareha. Shlomo told her, "This is what you really meant to ask. I know what you said was this, but really, lo yhoya dava nelam in amelach. Your words did not hide anything." In other words, the divrei hamelach, the divrei malkashva carried himself the content. Shlomo HaMelech's chachma lay in the fact that he could listen. Listening was a pa'ula, and he heard the person inside the words he was using. It says Shlomo HaMelech's chachma was he understood everything in the Bria, the sichas, the kolim, the animals, and everything what they spoke. Why is that the chachma? Why isn't physics the chachma? Why isn't the mahalach the kechavim and the levana the chachma? Why all of the conversations and so on? The teretz is because everything in the bria, what we call chachma, is passive. I will tell you, observe, and I will tell you how the moon goes, how the sun goes, and so on. To understand the diburim of every barrier means it's a pu'ul of shmia, which is Havana, equivalent to Havana, and that's what he and that was his Chachma. So you have a second area in which Shmia comes into play versus Re'ia is in the Oimek of Chachma. Being able to discern what's behind something means that you're an active observer, not a passive observer. And the truth is, in Riyad is also Shaykh such a Malach, but in Shmia, it's most, a person expresses what's Belivavoy, and if a person hears, he hears what's Belivavoy. That's the second Chalik. The third Nakuda, the third Maila of Shmia, is the Maila of, like it says in the second Chazal here. When a person talks, anytime a person transfers information, if a person takes a tree and cuts off a pre, the pre begins to wilt immediately. When a person takes information and he passes it on, "I heard it from so-and-so, and I'm passing it on to you," that is never moves anyone. When a person takes a sefer, memorizes a part, and says it over, it's not, it's klisheni to the sefer, and klisheni is not mevashel, and it's lukewarm at best. It's a kind of lukewarm. What Chazal say was, if you listen, then what happened is something in you opened up. You tap into a chiyus, utchi nafshechem, your neichel chayim. If a person learns different Torah with shmia, a person dehers, wow, this is what it means. That's a pu'ula, that's klirishin. His seichel, his aznayim heard an undertone that no one else's aznayim heard. Or it wasn't given to him, he heard it. Then he's zeichel that tvarav is nishmayim by achirim. No one will hear you give over canned stuff because it's canned. It has to become something of yours. But how does Torah become yours? I mean, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. You can't be saying what you think, it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. The teretz is when you listen, when your mind actively dehers, then a person is opening up a mayonis in himself. And it comes out, he's neichel chayim, like a mayon chayim. Hazino is a parasha that's koil kol HaTorah kula, like Shema Yisrael is koil everything. all of Asaras Adibris, but it takes the move from Re'iya to Shmiya. It's such a chisurin in our doer and our tvisa. Yes, somebody wants us to yeshiva. I'm supposed to pick up skills. I'm supposed to learn halachas. I'm supposed to get information, and so on. That is not chayim. That's not Torah's chayim. That's not neuchel chayim. And for the next generation, it goes from lukewarm to being cool. It has no hemshich, and it's meaningless to a person. It can't last even one door. You can't tell the door that didn't see Maimon Har Sinai to stay with Maimon Har Sinai. And anything that's passive, any type of learning, understanding that's just absorbing what's there, and it's totally on the ability and the volume of information being over by the speaker has no lasting value. Shmiya Soizen is one of the Memchat Svarim Shatayr's nicknames. Shmiya Soizen is if a yeshiva, a person's stay in yeshiva has been successful, if he's able to see something and it sparks in himself. Let's look at it again. I don't think it's quite the way it appears first glance. Let's see it again. It doesn't seem to be right the way I'm learning it. It's bothersome. There's a word here. There's more to the word than the words say. Let's chew on it until we get out of it what the tam pnimi is. A person can sit and actively. Why is it that we need to have a lecturer stand up and give us wonderful stories about Gadlus HaBorei, Flos HaBorei, and so on? Why can't a person sit down in a park and be mizbeinin on a little ant crawling, going from place to place, on trees growing, on how does the water get up to the top of the tree, where does the pears come out, how does the fruit go? Why doesn't a person actively able to use his das and his seichel? The better and the more efficient the information served to us, the more crippled we become. Something that's not a chiddush in the Gemara, a lush in the region that requires chewing on it to get to it, it's useless. Nobody wants to hear it. Think about it. Chew it up. Go over it again and again, and try to listen to what the pshat is. A Dvar Musa has to be a simple story, relates to us exactly how. The Musa Haska, this is that 743 should learn Shari Tshuva till 748. Exactly. From page 3 to page 4. And I'll tell you, Gavaldik story how somebody became a big tzaddik by it. That's the level that we're holding by. A person can't sit and think. Everything is canned, everything is pictures, everything is animated, and there's no. It's Hashmeleva Omazer and Hachbid Oznov, period. There's not a drop of ability for a person to listen. Fine, those are the words he said, but what's behind them? Say it in your words. Don't. When people say over a maima that they saw some. There's nothing wrong with saying over, provided you take a person saw a vart, and that's the vart he wants to say over. That's fine. Take the vart, strip it of all the words that the person used. Get rid of the nusach, the words, everything. Take the idea and chew on it, and then put it into your words. Listen to it. Don't just reserve it, recant it, and reserve it. The Hazinu is the last parasha pretty much of the Torah. It's the Shira that is supposed to last with us for Dairis. It's a mafteach to understanding all of history afterwards. Bino Shnais Dor V'Dor. And Hazinu requires that a person listens. Tshuva, real tshuva, requires that pen yishma, to listen to it. The teichacha is it's the ability on the one hand of hooking into a world that's beyond you is when you listen. Yes, when some people, when they hear something they don't understand, it turns them off. Some people, when they hear something they don't understand, it turns them on. It's challenging. You know, it's tantalizing. There's something beyond me. Let's try for it. That divides the person who only wants something that's in his Dalai Lama's, he'll never grow because everything needs to go into the portals of his little Dalai Lama's. The person that's something, a fragrance beyond his Dalai Lama's, is alluring. That's when it becomes the oizen becomes a knoikol to absorb things from it. And a person to the Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi depends on not. You want the person to tell you I was insulted by you? Is that he has to crawl on all four and say, you know, I was a little bit turned off by what you told me? Why don't you hear the way he's talking? That's not Kitmol Shulshan. Shlomo Malach's Chachma, the ultimate Chachma of Shlomo Malach's Chachma, is that all the sounds around him, he listened to them. He didn't wait for the sounds to come to it. He heard in what Malkashva said what's behind it. He heard in the woman. And Be'olam Chavei rests on understanding the person. It's degrading where a person has to tell, you know, I'm in the mood for a little attention. Could you tell me a nice hello? That's sickening. That's the Dutta Chroina Be'olam Chavei. Be'olam Chavei is where you have the sensitivity. If you get out of yourself a minute and listen to where the other person is coming from, you'll hear what he's saying. And third of all, if the Dvar of Nishmoy means, it's not only for somebody who plans on coming out but says Torah, but the Dvar of Nishmoy is an important tchuna. For somebody who's a Marbet Torah, he wants people to listen to him, it's important. It's really, in a sense, the litmus test of whether it's a Mayan Chaim, a Nachal Chaim, or it's just dead water, cliche nidika water. A person who was Mazin, he's Neuchel Chaim, Chazal mean that the person himself becomes a Mayan Chaim. A person who listens, a person who learns to think, to listen actively, not just absorb information, wait for it to be served, but to listen to it, becomes turned on, he becomes a Mayan Chaim. And the person who's a Shemea, Devar of Nishmayim Lacherim, is an important tchuna for a person who needs to do that. But more important, Dvar of Nishmayim is a simen that he was Neuchel Chaim. The person who was Mazin, the person Shimu Amit Chi Nafshechem, the person who was a Shemea, it's a sign, it's something changes in him where instead of becoming just dead, an impassive dead kli taken from point A to point B, the person himself becomes a Mayan Chaim, and the person himself, it awoke an akuda of Nevi'ah and Chiyus in his own nefesh. Chams.